Kia ora and welcome to Amran's Podcast, episode 172. Today is Friday, August 21st, 2009. Well, I suppose the first thing that people are going to want to know is, did I vote? And I'm going to tell you. But first, there's more than one way to make people listen to longer in the podcast. No, seriously, I know damn well you can fast forward if you don't care about anything else. First, I have some updates, and starting with what David, that Blue Jeans guy, calls a life update. Longtime listeners may recall that when we had our civil union, Nigel and I, his family got together and they gave us two nights at a hotel up in the Bay of Islands, which is in Northland, about, I don't know, 3 hours, whatever, north of Auckland, I'm not sure. Quite a ways, anyway. And we always planned on using the wintertime, and of course, today marks the last month of winter. We don't have much winter left. But we wanted to go in winter because there are fewer tourists around. It's also generally warmer up there than it is in Auckland. They actually usually call Northland the winterless north. And I've never been to the Bay of Islands. I've only been as far as Whangarei. And you can find all these places on a map, so I'm not going to bother trying to tell you where it is. But if you think of the North Island of New Zealand as a fist with a thumb raised, Northland is the thumb. And at the base of the thumb is where Auckland is. And so we're going sort of up the fleshy part of the thumb-ish, that general vicinity. And as I said, I've never been there before, and I'm looking forward to it. And I'm sure I'll post pictures to my blog once we get back and maybe even do some video. But we're going Monday and Tuesday and won't be back until sometime on Wednesday. And that means that there probably won't be any Amran's podcast next week. Jason and I are tentatively scheduled to record a two political podcast on Thursday, U.S. time, which could very well mean that it may not be posted until Friday or even Saturday, U.S. time. So we'll see how it goes. But that as I said, it probably means there won't be any Amran's podcast next week. But I wouldn't swear to that. Certainly there won't be at the beginning of the week because I'm not going to be here. And I also looked at the hotel and the internet, and it said that they have dial-up access. And I thought, oh, isn't that special? But it is kind of a resort area. And I actually don't know what to expect. I've never been there. Nigel says it's very nice. He's been there. But I'm not going to say any more because I might, that might be a topic for when I get back. Hey, always practical. But speaking of too political, this is sort of a house cleanup. Those of you who do listen to Too Political, and I realize not all of you do, I said on the last one that I am going to be dropping Too Political from the Amran's feed. And what that means, essentially, is that those of you who do want to continue listening to Too Political will need to subscribe to that separately. Those of you who don't want to listen to it obviously don't have to do anything because it won't be in the Amran's feed anymore. But that's not going to be happening until, I suppose it'll be the second episode in September. The first one will still be in the Amran's feed. So that means that there should be two more Too Political episodes in the Amran's feed before I drop it. And I'll keep reminding you, of course. But it's just something to keep in mind, something to be aware of that is coming up. And those of you who don't like Too Political will be relieved to know that it's going. Those of you who do, well, you'll have another podcast to subscribe to, I suppose. But if I knew how to tag things properly, I probably wouldn't have to be doing this. But never mind. I'm not that clever, contrary to popular belief. I wanted to give you some updates about some things I've talked about in the past. And the first was I'd mentioned how in New Zealand the adoption laws are really screwy. The way it works basically is that a single person, whether they're gay or straight, can adopt a child, and a married couple can adopt a child. But a gay couple in a civil union, or I suppose a straight couple in a civil union, cannot adopt a child, which is an anomaly in the law. Now, the acting head of the family court said that it's time to change that, and a private member's bill has gone into the ballot in Parliament in order to possibly address this. Now, the Prime Minister before has said that he's not opposed to the idea necessarily, although if the right wing gets to him, he may be. And the previous minister in charge, and I've forgotten actually what the portfolio is. It's probably got something to do with families or something. I don't know. Who is now the deputy leader of the opposition, said that when she was that minister, she wanted, it was on her working agenda of things to do, but of course they lost the election and that was the end of it. The current minister, whose name is Simon Power, as justice minister, that's who's in charge of it. The current justice minister, Simon Power, said the issue was not on his work program, which means that they're not going to be backing it by the sound of it. It has generated a lot of heat at the New Zealand Herald's website, and I'll try to remember to put a link to that story in the show notes. In the comments section, when I first saw this yesterday, there weren't that many comments, and most of them were pretty positive. Since then, apparently, there's been a deluge of the haters coming out to say things. And by the way, you don't have to live in New Zealand in order to leave a comment on the New Zealand Herald website. So if you get pissed off about anything that people are saying there, by all means, go ahead and leave a comment. You do have to register to do it, but I mean, big deal. You can use a Yahoo address for all the difference it makes. But still, that's something that's beginning to heat up a little bit, and I'll certainly be talking about that, I'm sure, in future episodes. Now, I have also said an answer to a question earlier on, I think it was one of the early shows with Nigel, if I remember correctly, that we decided quite some time ago that we weren't going to adopt children. This is well before a civil union. We can't now, obviously. And the main reason was that, we in particular, me, were getting older, and I didn't, certainly we wouldn't have adopted an infant because, I mean, say an infant now, when he or she was 18, I would be 68, and that is too old. I'm sorry. It just is. For me, I couldn't handle that. And so we'd have to adopt an older child if that was the case, and I just, it wasn't right for us. Perhaps if Nigel's on again sometime, we can talk about that if anybody's interested. But basically, it wasn't right for us, which is why we didn't. Now, we did at one point think about fostering a child, or getting guardianship, which is legal for gay couples to do. In fact, we know of one that is doing it. Don't know them personally, but we know of them. They know somebody who we know. This is how we know of them. Anyway, but that's not for us either because, I couldn't make that kind of emotional commitment to somebody and then risk having it ripped away. So anyway, now that we're in a civil union, it's not legal anyway, so it's completely off the agenda now. But as I said, it is a subject that's going to come up, and I'll talk about that again in future. But also on a topic I've talked about before, I talked about how there was this partial defense of provocation in murder cases, where basically somebody could claim that the victim made them kill them, and the murderer then would have the charge downgraded from murder to manslaughter. And this was tried famously in this case in the South Island recently, where a lecturer at Otago University, I guess it was, had killed a woman that he was having an affair with. And he tried to say that she provoked him into it, and he was found guilty of murder. I don't even think it was a couple weeks earlier, however, a gay man had been murdered by a tourist. And he claimed he was provoked because the gay man came on to him, the gay panic defense. And he was found not guilty of murder, but guilty of manslaughter. So it worked for him. And it worked for another case, a similar case of a gay man being murdered by somebody he picked up a year, 2 years earlier. And so the success of this defense does seem a little bit biased. Well, a bill has been introduced in Parliament to repeal the partial defense of provocation. And it had its first reading a couple of days ago in Parliament, and it passed unanimously. It passed its first reading unanimously. So it has two more readings to go, but it does signal that the partial provocation offense is about to be removed from New Zealand law, which is a very good thing. Now, there are some people who say that the defense should be there, for instance, in the case of a battered wife, or I suppose could be a battered husband, who deals with the abuse for years and then suddenly snaps. But there are other ways you can deal with that sort of situation. The Justice Minister, Simon Power, says that it basically rewards people for lack of self-control. And I actually agree with him on that. There is really can be no justification for murder as opposed to manslaughter. It's either murder or it's manslaughter. But you can't say that I murdered this person because they egged me on is what it amounts to. And so I was very pleased to see that pass unanimously, which pretty well indicates that it's going to pass Parliament when it finally does come up for its vote. But the main topic that people may be interested in is what happened with my voting. And it actually comes up in the comments. And I'm thinking that maybe what I'm just thinking off the top of my head, I might just jump ahead to the comments so that I can talk about the whole thing all at once. And the written comments, there were first, it's kind of funny, this week there were two from Roger Green and then two from Anne. But first, Roger Green said, vote with a spoiled ballot. Why break your voting record streak? And protest is good. And but then he also has a link to an article about murder, torture, sexual orientation, and gender in Iraq from I think it's Human Rights Watch, and he says it's a 67-page report that documents a wide-ranging campaign of extrajudicial executions, kidnappings, and torture of gay men that began in early 2009, and that's a huge topic, and I may talk about that in Too Political at some stage. I don't know. I actually have to do more research on that. It's not something I know well enough to talk confidently about. But Raj does have a link to the report. If any of you have heard about this and you want to see it for yourself, by all means, go to it. But the next comment was from Anne, who said, I voted yes because I was as cheesed off as you were and for the same reasons. Since I sent it in, got a great suggestion from a friend. Send the damn thing back blank. I wish I had. Then she added, P.S. I did write comments on mine, too, though, objecting to the whole process and cost. Well, Anne, thank you both, Roger and Anne. Anne, I'm not sure that may have spoiled the ballot. I'm not quite sure what the regulations are. It could very well be, as long as they can tell how you intended to vote, that that's good enough. But I had heard that suggestion of just mailing it back blank. And actually, there was a minor controversy about the envelopes that were used for this thing. It's just a never-ending story because they were semi-transparent. The way the ballot worked is that the part you mark is on one side, and on the back of it was the address for the returning officer in Wellington. You take your ballot, you put it in the envelope so that the address shows through the window, and the part you vote is on the other side. But you could sort of make it out through the envelope. Now, I didn't notice because I didn't look for anything like that, but apparently the Christians did notice. And the guy who's the head of Family First said that they got reports about people who were concerned about this, about how somebody might be able to manipulate the vote. I guess they think that the post office is all filled with labor supporters or something. I don't know. But they were darkly suggesting that there were going to be bad deeds done if people could read these envelopes. And I was thinking, if that were the case, it would be just as likely to be supporters as well as opponents. I mean, anyway. But this is the modus operandi of this guy. His name is Bob McCroskey, and he is an idiot. I have no reluctance to say that. I've seen him on television several times, heard him on the radio. He is a gas bag. He says some of the most inane crap you'd ever want to hear. And he does this sort of thing all the time where he'll talk about reports that they're getting. And he'll mutter darkly about things as if there's some sort of secret conspiracy going on to keep the far-right Christians' vote suppressed. And he never ever supplies any evidence of the things he's talking about. He talks about these reports they're getting or these complaints that they've received. Well, if he really had anything that was worth talking about, he would report it to the police or the relevant authorities. He wouldn't be just talking to the media about these things. And I don't know why the media lets him get away with it. They should tell him to put up or shut up. Personally, I would rather he just shut up. But anyway, now I've been doing a little looking into the backgrounds of these groups because the group that's behind it is, the main group that's pushing it is Family First New Zealand, which is a far-right Christian group, as I said. And they have really strange worldview. It's far-right Christian. There is no other way to describe it. But it's with an almost aggressive streak to it and really snarky. And not in a good way because, I mean, I like a good snarky joke as much as anyone else. But they do it in a mean sort of way. And they do really dumb things. They had on their website this thing about how the leader of the opposition will vote no, and which is the vote they wanted people to make, because he said in a radio interview that nobody wants parents prosecuted as criminals. And that's certainly true, but that doesn't mean he's going to vote no. As a matter of fact, he's already on record saying he wasn't going to vote at all because he thought the question was so bad. And this is the kind of thing they do. They distort things in their press releases to make it say to make somebody else say something they didn't say. They lie. It's what they do. They lie. So this is one of the main groups behind it. And they, along with all, I don't know about them in particular, but most of the right-wing groups have spent more money than they're legally allowed to. They're legally allowed to spend $50,000 on the campaign, and which isn't much at all. I mean, even by New Zealand standards, that's not very much. And there's one of the reasons why I avoided talking about it too much before the vote because I felt that there was no way I could say anything without potentially running in risk of being accused of being in league with people who are one side or the other, even though I said last time I had no idea what I was going to do. Well, that one, that podcast, I posted before the voting deadline. So it was theoretically possible that if I had gone further, I could have influenced vote and might have gotten in a run afoul of the law, especially because I was hitting so hard on the right wing. And it's one of the reasons why I didn't go any further than I did then. By the time this is posted, the deadline will have passed for voting. So I'm completely free and clear to say whatever I want. So how did I vote? Well, before I answer that, I have a relevant voicemail. And if I have a voicemail, you know what that means. I get to play my song again.
Hello? Get off my phone! Get off my phone, you little pinhead! Get off my phone! I'm gonna lose my mind today.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Hi, Arthur. I'm Rebecca, an expat Kiwi living in the States, and I enjoy your podcast a lot. Thank you for the show about the smacking referendum. I had got the referendum paper in the mail and been completely mystified by it. So thank you, and especially for the background on the people who supported it. I know it'll be too late by the time you get this, but I think you should go ahead and vote in the referendum. And then I think you should also go out there, as you are already saying, how what a waste of money and time and energy and what have you that this whole thing is. I think that's the best way to not make it so that these kinds of things won't keep happening in the future. Anyway, that's my thoughts, so thank you very much, and I look forward to your next podcast. Bye.
Well, thank you very much, Rebecca. It's always nice to hear a Kiwi voice on my answer phone, a Kiwi accent, because I don't have an accent, of course. We've all established this by now. Anyway, actually, I got that call. I received the call on the day that the ballots were due to be posted back, and I suppose you could say that it actually influenced me a bit. And before I tell you how it influenced me, Rebecca, if you have a moment sometime, drop me an email. I would love to hear more about your story, how you ended up in the U.S. and all those sorts of things. I'm always interested in other expats and their situation, so I would love to hear from you. Okay, here's the thing. I had, and just to recap, I had three options. One is to ignore it completely, throw the thing away. And that was my initial plan, to just ignore it completely. The second was to vote, and the third was to deliberately spoil the ballot. And I was trying to figure out what to do. My feeling was that I should just ignore it because I had such utter contempt for the people behind this and for the whole referendum. And I thought that was the best way to show it. And then I thought, well, yeah, but then they'll never know. Maybe it wasn't delivered. I mean, there's no way of telling. So I thought, okay, well, deliberately spoil the ballot so that it's kind of a protest, particularly, you know, with the two ticks. And I suppose I could have defaced the ballot, too, to make it abundantly clear it was a protest. But what concerned me about that is that it may not have been counted in the statistics. And the yes people, the bad people, the no people, the bad people are going to win. Nobody doubts that, and probably by a huge margin. And I just didn't want to do anything that would in any way help them. But at the end of the day, I thought about it. I thought, I want the law to stay as it is. And so no matter how much contempt I have for these people, no matter how much contempt I have for their stupid referendum, I had to vote, and I had to vote yes. And so that's what I did. The question is so completely disgusting that I had to hold my nose to vote yes. The only reason I voted yes, as a matter of fact, was to stick it to the right wingers who shoved this down the throats of the New Zealand taxpayers. No matter what happens, I mean, they planned their victory celebration already. They booked a hotel in Auckland about 3 weeks ago, I think it was. And they were planning on this big thing, and they're arguing with themselves about what to do afterwards. One of them wants to define which forms of violence are permitted. Another wants to define under what circumstances violence is allowed. And the one guy, Larry Baldock, who's from this thing called the Kiwi Party, which is a really fucked up organization, He wants to have he wants to define the specific violent acts that are allowed, including the use of an instrument like a wooden spoon. I suppose riding crops are optional. And the other one, the Bob McCroskey guy from the New Zealand Family First New Zealand, he wants to do more about the talk about the conditions under which violence will be permitted. Well, it's not a given that either one is ever going to get anywhere, especially because the law is clearly working. But I don't know. At the end of the day, as I said last time, I have never deliberately not voted, and I didn't want to start now. And even though I know I'm going to be one of maybe 10-20% of the people who voted yes on this thing, I felt that I had to do what my conscience told me to do, which was to support the law as it is. And the only way I could do that was by voting yes, even though, as I said, I had to hold my nose to do it. So that's what I did. And I posted the ballot yesterday before the deadline. And actually, you may be interested to know, may not, but anyway, generally speaking, most ordinary mail is delivered the next day in New Zealand or 2 days later. This is with a normal 50-cent postage stamp. You can use this thing called Fast Post, which is almost always next-day delivery, which is double the price. But you can do that if you want to. The fact that it's electoral mail, though, means it probably was treated a little bit more quickly. And so my ballot, and well, Nigel's, may actually have made it to Wellington in time to be counted today. And today, after 5:30, when the polls close, because I'm recording about 4 o'clock in the afternoon right now, after the polls close, they are going to release a preliminary count. And then sometime later on, Tuesday, I believe it is, they are going to release the final count. And that'll be the final result after they've gotten all the postal ballots and like from overseas, like from the expats like Rebecca who are living overseas, and also people from around the country because they want to allow adequate time. The rule was just that for New Zealanders in New Zealand, it had to be postmarked by yesterday. And so ours was. We're. And so it may actually be there. But yes, so my record remains intact. I have never intentionally or deliberately not voted. The only times I have missed voting is when, as I said, when I've been sick or when the absentee ballot thingy couldn't be worked out in time for whatever reason. And that's happened a couple of times and as well. So, I mean, I think I've got a pretty good record, really, because I've been voting since I was 18, which would be, 32 years I've been voting, and I've only missed maybe 3 elections altogether in my lifetime. Some of them have been really quite minor. So that's been my exciting week. I'm very much looking forward to the trip to the Bay of Islands next week, and I'll certainly tell you more about that when we get back, probably the week after that. Is when I'll be able to tell you. But we'll see. We'll see how things go. But that's it. Remember, the Too Political will be stopping on this feed as of the end of September. So you may want to think about subscribing to that separately if you're so inclined. And also, I have thought for some time the Too Political should be weekly rather than every other week. So if you have a feeling about that, you may want to let me know. Or actually, you'd probably be better off to go over to twopolitical.com. That's the number 2political.com. And leave a comment so that we can both get it. Or to call the comment line over there to say what you prefer. Would you prefer us to stay weekly? I'd just say every other week or fortnightly, as we say here. Or would you like it weekly or what? As for this podcast, I have been thinking about adding a live show. Now, some of you at this point are shrieking in delight, and others are shrieking in terror at the prospect, but a different kind of live show. It would be a discussion show, sometimes with a guest that people could listen into live and maybe interact in the chat room. Other times it would be a panel discussion about a particular topic. Probably more or less political topics, but not necessarily. It depends, on who the discussion is with. But I'd be curious to know what you would think about such a thing. If you'd be interested in that, if you think it's a horrible idea, by all means, tell me that too. That doesn't mean that I won't be doing more party-style shows with Nigel in the future, with or without Nigel, I suppose, in the future. It just means that I've been thinking about more of a regular format for live podcasting, because the Pride 48 network is supposed to be basically a talk network. And so I was thinking I might like to do some live talk shows, particularly because Archer Radio is now going back to only one group show a week now. I was thinking I might add one, basically. It'd probably be the first part of the work week in North – well, here too. I was going to say in North America, but here too. Because it just – it works better for me, frankly. But I'd be curious to hear what you would think. Also, I frequently mention that I'm always open to questions from listeners about things that you would like to hear about, topics you want to know about. And I actually have recently received an email from a listener who at this point shall remain anonymous, who had a really good question, and I am actually researching it because I don't want to just, you know, talk off the top of my head. I want to actually know what I'm talking about before I say anything. So I'm still working on that, and that is a future episode. But if you have ever wanted to know anything about, well, about me, I suppose, but more particularly about New Zealand or about being an expat or any of those sorts of things, by all means, you can send an email to me at Arthur, A-R-T-H-U-R, at aaronspodcast.com, or you can leave a comment on any, well, the most recent episode would be best, or you can ring the comment line, 206-666-5172, I think it is. But that's all in the closing music. But that is it for today. That's it for this week. And remember, I will probably not have an Amarin's podcast next week, but there will be a Two Political podcast at the end of the week. That's it for today. Have a great weekend, everybody, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amarin's podcast at amarinspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amarinspodcast.com. Or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed on a Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.